Amy.
And I'm Jessica.
And we're two best friends talking about romance novels.
Welcome to the OHG Happy Hour.
Yeah. Oh, we should have a happy hour like theme music. And then in my head, I was like, what would it be? And I was like, diddly do. And then my brain was like, that's enough. That's all you need.
It was like pop culture happy hour. Is that Linda Holmes' podcast?
Yeah.
So like way back in the day, they had like funny theme music. It was Dinner Party Download. It was like a very early NPR podcast, and it had like music playing over drinks clinking. I feel like we need to find that.
That sounds fancy. Mm-hmm. What is your drink of choice?
So right now I'm drinking red wine. Ooh. And it's like a Sorelli, I think.
I don't know what that means.
I don't really know either, but I like the label because there's a giant red dot with a little ladybug on it.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah, that's why I picked the bottle.
Yeah. I'm very unpicky. Well, I'm picky with wine in that I only like cheap, sweet white wine. So like I have friends who are picky in that, like, if it's not like the right price of a dry red, they're like, this is mediocre. And I'm like, do you have any Barefoot Riesling?
Well, I mean, we need to know what we like. Mm-hmm. I would argue though that you can find plenty of great bottles of wine at $9. So
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is like $10 at Kroger. But I made a little mixed drink with cranberry mango juice and a little lemon lime soda and vodka.
I noticed, that sounds delightful. I noticed it was not a Norwood martini.
I know, I'm branching out because I've nearly run out of Mountain Dew.
Well, cheers.
Clink.
So, what were we going to talk about? There was something.
Do you want me to tell you about the Sarah McLean writing class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Sarah McLean has a 2-hour how to write a romance novel, and it's like a getting started class. And she hosted it in preparation for NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, which is November. Someone posted a thing. And so like the goal is to write 50,000 words in the month of November if you're participating. So like I write, and the idea of having that intense of a goal paralyzes me to where like if I think I'm going to do it, I then just don't write at all for the entire month. Like I just know myself and I can't participate. Mm-hmm. But it's very cool that she kind of had this class as kind of like, if you're getting started and you want to try to hit a goal for this month, like here's some things that might help you. And I feel like there was one moment that I texted you about that just like rocked my world in terms of like thinking about stories and how they're structured. And so she was talking about conflict and romance specifically. And she was saying that external conflict is what keeps the characters together and internal conflict is what keeps them apart. And so like physically what keeps putting them in the same space is the external conflict. And then the reason they can't be together is their internal conflict. And I was like, holy shit. Like it sounds very simple and it makes so much sense, but I've never thought of it that way. And I feel like my brain exploded.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, now that you've said it that way, yes, that's very logical. And like, I knew that, but now that it's like kind of this mathematical formula, like, oh gosh, I can see it everywhere now.
Yes. Yeah. And so she was saying a lot of times tropes are external conflicts. It's like one bed forcing you to choose to either sleep in the bed together or not.
Right. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
It's going to make me reevaluate like even my own life differently.
Right. And so it's a 2-hour course. This one, I think it's available to view online, but only if you are in the original class. But on her website, which I think is sarahmclean.com, she has like, you can sign up for alerts, and she said she will be doing it again and might have other classes. So if you're hearing this and thinking like, shoot, darn, I missed it, I would suggest going to her website and signing up for like her little email bursts so you can see when she does it again.
Shoot darn is like such a Leave It to Beaver way of cursing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So today's the kind of day I took up my bra off at actually 2:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that for you. I was on 4.5 hours of conference calls before 2:30. I was like, I hate this. So
were you on video?
No, thank God. Well, for 1 hour, but most of the time we can't do video at work, which is actually super nice.
So much better than video. Yeah.
Are you on video for all of yours?
No, very few and far between. I did go back to the office for the first time this week.
Oh, what did you think?
It was okay. It was nice to see some people. You know, I went 3 days. I was like exhausted. I went to bed at like 8 o'clock every night. I found out the bus got more expensive. I was pretty pissed about that.
Oh, well, fuck that.
I know.
It's nice to have a routine. I mean, I'm sure it's also interrupting your routine of like working at home now that you've gotten that down flat.
Yeah, I lasted 2 days before I forgot to bring my headphones and then had to take every meeting I had from a conference room. So
yeah.
I was just proud of myself that I remembered my like security badge, because I'm that person that's like stuck outside hoping to follow someone in and then people are like, you're not allowed to do that. I'm like, I know, but I really do work here.
Okay, so we talked about, we're talking about Mating the Huntress by Talia Hibbert.
Yes. Because I was reading a list of monster novellas and it just sounded fun to me. And I have not read very many Fated Mates books. And I figured that would be cool.
Yeah. I love a Fated Mates.
Do you though?
Yeah, we identified my issue.
So do you want me to read the back to start?
Yeah, that would be great.
The blurb. This Halloween, love bites back hard. Chastity Adolfo knows a monster when she sees one. As soon as Luke Anthony wanders into her family's coffee shop, she recognizes the evil lurking beneath his charming smile and fantastic arse. It's British, so it has an R in it. The handsome werewolf is determined to have her, but she's determined to cut out his heart. Little does she know, Luke's plans for her are far more pleasurable than murder, and when the full moon rises, all bets are off. So I feel like even for a novella, this is short. It's just over 30,000 words.
Yeah, it was like 100 pages, right?
Yeah, if that. And so, and I feel like a lot of novellas land at around that like 40 to 50 mark.
Yeah, so I just struggled with this one because it felt very chaotic to me. Like, I felt like there was weird character building. There was a prologue, which is a lot of space to take up in a novella. Mm-hmm. Which we've encountered this issue before, I think, in one of the Christmas novellas we read last year. So it just felt like that was a lot of, like, real estate to take up when you need it. Then the rest of it tried to do a lot with, like, yes, the two of them, like the will they or won't they, and then also you're supposed to like get invested in her family and the rest of the characters in her family, because I'm guessing that that's going to be where the rest of the series goes.
I don't know that it's going to be a series.
It is.
Monsters and Mates, I guess it is.
Yeah, book one.
This came out in 2018, though. Is there more already? So the prologue did bug me. Just from the perspective of one, the prologue puts us in the head of the heroine's sister. And
yes,
I felt like from like a character building perspective, I was then confused when we get to chapter one and we're with a different sister and I'm like, who's my heroine? And in a book designed to be this short, I'm like, how are we jumping around right now?
So did you also, like, when he ripped the sweatshirt off, and then for probably the first two chapters, I thought he was still pursuing the sister, and mm-hmm. he was looking for who was wearing the sweater.
Yes, I thought that too. I was confused by that too at the beginning. So what actually happens is, so like in the prologue, the sister is on out hunting a werewolf and finds him, but she's alone and realizes that he has the upper hand, and she's thinking, you're in her head, she's thinking, I'm about to die. And he jumps on her and she's like, this is it. And he tears off part of her sweatshirt and then runs away and leaves her alive. And that's not something she expected, because it's a belief within her family that essentially there's no werewolves that have souls or have the capability of like stopping their hunt desire, that they're just like bloodthirsty creatures. And it becomes part of the plot that her family basically lost a lot of their information about the history of werewolves. And so they're hunting werewolves, but like without kind of that background information that really there are werewolves that are some have control of themselves and haven't let themselves go and are more human than not. And then there are some that have kind of given in to the monster. And those are the ones that are usually hunted. And he is not one of those. So he hasn't killed a person in a very long time. And so we basically find out that he can tell from the smell of the sweatshirt that his mate has worn it. And he then goes to find that smell, which is the sister. But I was confused because we started in the head of the other sister. I'm like, how is this circling back around to the other sister? What's happening here? But it doesn't. It's just that was how it started.
Yeah. And at one point he does say something like, I need to find out who was wearing this. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, then why are you just hanging out in her coffee shop?
Well, yeah, it's because he found her and he knows it's her. And he's mm-hmm. like, I don't know how to talk to human women, which, I mean, common problem even for human men. And so he just like goes there every day and orders 6 breakfast sandwiches, which is hilarious to me that he's like, I'm trying to get up the nerve to ask her out. So I'm trying to blend in as a normal human. I'll have 6 breakfast sandwiches because 20 would be suspicious.
I mean, I could eat 6 breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she's like, cool, I get to prove myself to my family. And this is where I was like, the fuck. So she is like, I'm going to murder him. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a weird turn for a romance novel.
So I loved that, actually.
So I'm like, where is this gonna go? This is gonna be great. Because at that point I was still confused and thought at some point the other sister was still coming into play.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, well, no, it seems like it's her. So she discovers his humanity, and I love how, because he like carves pumpkins.
Yeah, and whittles wood.
Which I carved 2 pumpkins last weekend, and it was hard because my sister got thick pumpkins. And then I'm a dumbass and decided to carve roses into one.
Mm. Did it look pretty, though?
Yeah, I set myself up for failure, though. Mm. My niece was like, more roses. And I was like, no, my hand is dead.
But I feel like the implication is that he just like makes his hand a claw, and therefore it's easier for him because he's just like basically drawing with his finger.
That's a good point. Yeah. So she's like, oh, well, shit, he has a soul. How do I don't even know what to think about that. Everything I know is wrong. Meanwhile, she has a silver dagger tied to her thigh and a gun in her coat with silver bullets in it. Mm-hmm.
And so she feels weirdly drawn to him and is confused as to why, which makes sense because she doesn't know about mates and their fate at this point.
Yeah. And I feel like it's very classic fated mates. What is it? The way it reads where it's like he can smell her arousal. Mm-hmm. And so it's like very classic, like shifter to like smell her arousal and feel, you know, how hot she is and stuff.
Notice that her heartbeat has ticked up and like, yeah, I agree. I feel like your pumpkin flowers look really good. She just sent me a text of them.
So they end up like making out, and then she also stabs him in the chest.
Yeah, which I loved that. So like, she's thinking, I'm gonna get one up on him because he thinks we're on a date and I know that I'm here for murder. And she's straddling him with the knife on her thigh, and he reaches up and touches it, and that's when he realizes that she's like brought weaponry, and it becomes a fight. And I loved the back and forth. I loved the banter, like, yes, during the fight. And he's like, he thinks for some, like, because she's been pretending to be kind of into him to make this work, he has this impression that she's kind of boring, that she just like kind of just answers questions like as neutrally as possible. And then he has this moment where he's like, oh, she's trying to kill me, I am intrigued now.
I know. And he's like, this is so interesting. And also like, I'm proud of my mate for having such a like bold way of, and then he gets excited about wrestling with her and all this stuff. And he only gets pissed when she tries to stab him in the heart with a dagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then he's like, okay, we'll just take it out and let's be friends. And because he is fully all in on the fated mate concept, and she's like, there's no way. Yeah. We're cross species. We can't do that.
Do you want to hear how he smells? Because I highlighted it because I was like, yes. A heady mixture of power, fresh pine, and midnight heat. Most of which are not smells, but I'm like, I can still see it.
A heady mixture of pine,
power, fresh pine, and midnight heat.
God, that candle costs like $200. Yeah. Because two of those things are not real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're having this fight. She has stabbed him, and he's kind of play fighting with her a little bit until the stab happens. He's like, she can't really kill me, she's by herself, normally it takes multiple hunters to take someone down. So he's kind of just trying to not hurt her but not get hurt himself. And then all of a sudden the knife's in his chest, and it puts silver very close to his heart, and the silver's like poisoning his blood, and he's laying on the ground. And he's like, you have to pull the knife out or I'm going to die, and you don't want me to die. Like, I know that you don't want me to die. And she's like, I don't want him to die, but I don't understand why.
Yeah.
And then she's like, he did carve pumpkins, and she pulls it out.
And then like runs away. I was like, I'm out of here. Yeah. And she, I love that she like leaves a cupcake by him to help take care of him when he wakes up.
I know. I mean, baking is a love language.
Yeah. So can we, so she's like, I'm never going to see him again. Like, it doesn't matter. And he is like, well, no, now I know how crazy she is. And also we're mates, so I'm going to keep pursuing her. And there's a scene then in an alleyway where she's like, no, absolutely not, no. And then he finger bangs her in the alleyway, and it's like, she's like, oh yeah, let's go back to your place now.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I feel like this is where I like fated mates. I like fated mates that aren't insta-love. And so it's like,
yes,
this is fated mates enemies to lovers. And that intrigues me because I like that back and forth.
Yeah, and I like when a fated mates is, it allows like free will, a little bit of that negotiation, especially when one character is all in and is like accepted like the lore of their species, and another one is like kind of an outsider and is like, there's no way that I'm a part of this, kind of like in Black Dagger Brotherhood, the first book, which, I mean, I know we've talked about how it's a slew of problems, but I love that she is not aware she's a vampire. So when her mate comes for her, she's like, I need to learn all about this. Mm-hmm. And so then it takes them the whole book to fall in love, which is great.
Yeah, agreed.
So there, did they immediately go back to make cupcakes, or was this another date that they decide to make cupcakes?
I think after the finger bang, they go back to his house and they continue hooking up and they're about to have sex for the first time. And he says, let's mate.
Oh, right. And she's like, and she's, I have like, commitment issues.
Yeah. She's like, 2 days feels fast to commit to you for our eternal lives, which makes some sense. And he's
like a logical woman.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, I was just super jazzed that you were here.
I also love in fated mates that it's usually the man who's like all in immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like following this, so like she has her information now that her family has been missing, that there's more than one type of werewolf. And but she still has to go tell them that she's destined to be with a werewolf, I guess, at mm-hmm. this point is how you would think of it, and that she's met this guy. And this is where I think the family dynamic did get a little messy, because I feel like with novellas, you normally have that primary focus on the two, like whatever characters are part of the actual love plot. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is a very light side character because you don't have words to spare. Like, you gotta get exactly. in on that. And this was like, let's branch out and get more siblings. Let's make sure that original sister has her say. Let's get mom and dad and see their feelings. And I was like, we're using up real estate that you could be spending with like the two of them doing the thing that like reads really well that I won from this book, which is like the banter, the fighting, the making up, the having sex, like all of that stuff is what I want. And I felt like we were just using time on like background werewolf plot.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, oh, there was this curse placed on her by an oracle at birth. And then also her sister and brother have been stalking her the whole time and knew that she was in love, and like just all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
And because we're in this tightened story structure, that felt kind of rushed. Whereas I feel like if this was a full length and you were really digging into those characters, I would have been fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt rushed, and like you were saying, there aren't enough words to spare for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then because of that, like we've taken up that time, we end up, when is the cupcake like pouring batter on each other? I thought it was before that.
And it might have been.
That leads up to them mating. Yeah. Well, that leads up to him being like, I want to mate you. Yes. And I have a lot of questions about she pours cupcake batter over him. I'm sorry. This is very itchy today. She pours cupcake batter over him, and then he puts some on her, and then they just start like hooking up. And I guess maybe if you're like a different species, I still feel like the sugar in the batter is like not good for your vaginal flora. And then also, isn't there raw egg? And like, what's happening with the raw egg? I could not even like engage with what was happening in that sexy time behavior, because I was just like, there's raw egg.
So I think that it's less of an issue for him because he eats raw meat regularly. So maybe his system is set up for that, but I would argue that hers is not.
Yeah, it feels like it's a no. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I like that this tripped you up.
It really did. Because they're like, oh, we should wash off. No, we're not going to wash off. No, shouldn't we wash off? We'll get it all over the bed. No, we got to keep going. And I'm like, wash it off. That's so gross. But I think we're like finding out some part of my psychosis right now.
But I also think when the batter was poured and then it was like, we need to wash it off, I was like, cool, shower scene. Right?
Great opportunity.
And then it was like, oh, never mind. We're just doing nasty in the bed scene. And I guess like the urgency, like you're getting across the urgency at that point. I mean, I didn't have a specific hang up with it, but I hear where you're coming from.
I was just concerned about like her overall health and her vaginal flora, like I said.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she goes home to the family and like that whole thing unfolds and there's like a lot of words about pancakes which were unnecessary. And then she goes on a hunt with him. Yeah. She's like, I love him. Oh shit. The oracle meant that my heart, I would fall in love with this werewolf. And she's dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. I mean, yeah. She's supposed to be dressed as like a golden, red delicious.
Red velvet cupcake.
Yeah, I was about to say red delicious cupcake, and that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Words are hard on Friday afternoons. and then it sounds like they just like play while he's shifted.
Yeah, like they just run through the woods and he chases her. And yeah, it just sounds, it's, yeah. And it's kind of, I guess, proving to her that he really is in control. Like even at the height of the full moon, he's in control of himself and he doesn't have to give in to any sort of urge to like hurt or kill someone. And so this is something else Sarah McLean talked about in her class. And now that I'm thinking of this, it kind of makes sense. So in order to have a story, you have to have a reason the two people can't be together right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or like page one is they were together, the end, right? You have to have a reason they can't be together. And so he doesn't have a reason. He's like, yeah, I'm in it right now. We could be together right now. And so all of that internal conflict for why they can't be together comes from her. And I feel like that's why Talia Hibbert spent time on that family dynamic piece of it, because I feel like those were like the family dynamic piece of it and romping in the woods were the two things she needed to be convinced that she could move forward in their relationship. Like she needed her family to not disown her for being with him. And then she needed her own proof that he truly was in control of himself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That being said, after the romp in the woods, they go back to his place, have sex, and do the mating ritual. Mm-hmm. And it felt very fast in the writing.
Because they have this whole conversation about like, okay, well, let's take it slow for a while. Like we'll meet each other's families. And then he thinks this cute line where he's like, they would be solitary together. Like they'd done so many things alone. Like she had kind of been outcast from her family because they wouldn't let her hunt. And then the middle of like them having sex, she bites his forearm 5 seconds after she's had the conversation, like, I'm not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, okay, well, I mean, I know the book has to wrap up because this is short, but what happened to, I would have been okay with them not being mated at the end of the book.
I agree.
Because we know they're going to end up there.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we would be getting a happily for now that was obviously a lead into a happily ever after. And I would have been fine with that. And I feel like considering the span of time that the actual story time that this book takes place, which is like 5 days, makes a lot of sense. And I like when I was reading that part, I was like, how am I at 99%? And then the next page it was like she bites him, and I was like, oh, okay, we're just like doing that right now.
yeah, so Also, it felt like it had nothing to do with Halloween, really, other than like they wear costumes one day.
That's true. Pumpkins. They wear the costumes and he's a monster, but it's definitely not, it's not like Halloween Town, right? It's not like specifically Halloween themed.
Yeah. So overall, a cute little novella. Mm-hmm. My favorite quote, she's talking with her sister and Victoria is like, well, as far as I can tell, you were never in any danger and you're really into him, weren't you? And Chaz thinks it was all so inconvenient having people who cared about you when all you really wanted to was to bottle up your feelings and never ever speak of them.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it was well written. Mm-hmm. With the words.
Yeah, and I think that's where, like, I think I would still, if someone was like, rattle off a monster novella, I want to read one, I would still be like, yeah, you can grab this. Just because, like, the actual interplay of the characters themselves and the writing of that is still so good because it's Talia Hibbert.
Well, and you've read a couple other monster novellas this season too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I enjoyed them. I managed to pick up like a bunch in a row that were insta-love on both parts. And it just, I need like the back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Insta-love is just hard.
Yeah. I mean, I have an easier time with it than Secret Baby, but it's still rough.
Secret Baby's a hard no.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever actually read a full Secret Baby book because I usually do not finish as soon as I figure out what it is.
I started watching a Secret Baby romance movie on Hallmark and I had to stop it too.
Yeah.
I also struggle with Widower.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. If anyone has a secret baby that they're like in love with, I don't mean actually, I mean a secret baby romance novel, we would take a recommendation and perhaps read it and never talk about it. Or we'd talk about it. Who knows? We don't plan things.
Yeah. Planning. Totally against our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you want to hear the other thing I read that was so good?
Yeah.
I read The Lady Gets Lucky by Joanna Shoup.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's so fucking good. Like, I just felt like page after page, I was like, this is exactly what I want it to be. It's set in Newport, Rhode Island for part of the book, which is like the Breakers and like... if you know Vanderbilt House, like their summer mm-hmm. house was in Newport, Rhode Island, and it's just like this town of mansions, and I was so excited to have that as a setting. It was very good.
I downloaded it to read it. I'm going to Mexico in 2 weeks.
It's also a Please Teach Me How to Seduce a Man book.
I love those books.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to read that. Well, thank you. And then we're also reading Can't Escape Love next, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, I have no idea, but if you say we are, I believe you.
It's another novella. It's by Alyssa Cole, who we've never read before.
Never read for the podcast.
Indeed.
Yes.
That's a good qualifier. I've actually never read her at all.
I have. So this is the novellas within the Reluctant Royals series, and I have read others of the Reluctant Royals series and really like them.
Ooh. So I finally finished Honey Trap.
Ooh.
Which was on the Fated Mates Best of 2020 book list. And I had started it and I just couldn't get into it. And then I was in Maine on vacation and it was so sweet. Mm-hmm. It kind of, it follows this Soviet spy and an American spy during the Cold War. And like, they obviously can't be together because of politics and like they would get killed, but they have these like clandestine meetings. And then when they finally can be together, and so it takes this kind of like different tone for Happily Ever After, Well, not necessarily. It ends with it, but it's just like this, I think it spans their relationship over like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And both of them end up married to women. One of the women is like not supportive of her husband wanting to travel. The other one is like, they have an open marriage. And so like kind of, it was really sweet.
Huh. I'll just check it out. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's by Astor Glenn Gray, if anyone wants to read it. Really enjoyed it.
And I feel like too, that's another one that's giving you a historical in a different time frame than what we normally see. And that's fun.
Yes, it was great. Also, like, yeah, it was lovely. I'm glad I finally finished it. And I feel like, oh, Astor Glenn Gray writes a bunch of books from that timeline. So maybe we should read one for the podcast about G.I. men who fall in love.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Like skinny penciled black ties and like discovering they're in love in 1945.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So we have the rest of the year planned out, but coming in 2022, because I don't feel like that really strikes a Christmas tone, holiday tone.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll hit that in January.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like January and February, we'll be back to like not wanting to leave our houses at all. So we'll be in full length book mode.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Although it's like been weirdly cold now, and now it's getting dark earlier. So.
Yeah, we're about to have, do you have daylight savings in Tennessee?
Yeah. And every year I'm like, what is this garbage? I've never experienced this trash before for like 2 months. I'm like, you've ruined my whole life.
I really hate walking to the bus stop in the dark in the morning. So I am glad that it will now be at least like the sun will be coming up when I walk to the bus stop in the morning.
So because I'm on like the easternmost tip of the central time zone, the sun sets then at the same time it does in the eastern. So it's like, okay, it's setting at 5:30 in Ohio right now. It's setting at 4:30.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like 6 and 5, but still.
Yeah.
It's like a lot to deal with.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've started watching The Sopranos from the beginning. So if anyone needs me, that's where I am.
Oh, good. Yeah. If you would like to chat about Sopranos, you can reach Jess on Twitter. Maybe.
I thought you were offering yourself up for it. And I was like, yes, let's talk about how it's predicting the fall of masculinity in America. Go.
I did ask my husband the other day. I was like, should we do a full Sopranos watch? Because I've never seen it. And he was like, eh, I've seen it. But if you're watching it, maybe I will anyway. And I'll just make him do it.
I'm finding it pretty compelling. I'm only 5 episodes in, so we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
Well,
anything else?
I think that's all we were going to cover for today.
Cool. You can find us online at OHG Podcast everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And find Amy at HEA Does It Bang? Mm-hmm. _ Does It Bang? She's just really dominating Twitter.
I'm doing my best. I've got the hustle.
Good for you. All right. Stay obstinate.
Stay headstrong.